Hello and welcome to Stony Creek Radio, the sermon podcast from Stony Creek Baptist Church in London, Ontario. We're so glad you've tuned in today. Our prayer as you listen is that you'll be encouraged and built up in your walk with Jesus as we study God's Word together. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's jump right in.
And today we are on Thursday of the week, the day before Friday that we will be remembering on Good Friday this week. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, John chapter 13. And it's a very familiar passage where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And so one that many will know, many have read, and so that is where we'll be thinking. I was trying to think through like how to intro this message, and I was thinking, do I have a bucket? Do I wash someone's feet, or do I have someone else wash my feet, or something like that? But all I have in my intro is that feet are smelly. I don't know about you, but they are smelly. Our one closet, we have four kids, so our one front closet doesn't have any doors, and especially wintertime, right? It is just packed with shoes and boots and sandals and from centuries past. And when that heater turns on, the smell sometimes will overtake you. And so feet are smelly. They can be dirty. And what we have in our passage is the one who we were just singing about, singing to, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the night before he is going to be hung on a cross, gets down on his hands and knees and washes feet. The work of a servant. And Jesus is doing this very purposeful. This is the last few hours before he's dying. One of the last messages before the cross that he wants to convey to his disciples and to us. And so this is where we'll be. Let me pray for our passage, pray for God's word, spirit to be working in our hearts. But this is where we're going to be, and just amazing to think through what God's word has for us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can come to it and read it, that your spirit is working. I pray for our hearts that we would, this passage would point us right to the cross, and that we would leave thankful for what Christ has done, and that it would not just be something that stays in our head or something that we simply reflect on, that it would change how we serve and how we serve one another. And so, Lord, I just pray for our time this morning and just thank you so much for this day, for your word, and just thank you for each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you want to look at verse 1, we're going to look at two main themes in this passage, two lessons that Jesus is going to convey that I want us to walk away with. But verse 1 is a very important introduction for us to read and to see. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I read fast and I don't catch everything that I read often. And sometimes if I'm reading the Bible, I will see a verse like verse 1 and I'll see, oh, that's just a couple little details. I'll move on to the meat of the passage. I don't know if anyone does that sort of thing ever. But it's important, this verse 1. I mean, that goes without saying, but it gives the right understanding and the right thought that we need to have when we read Jesus washing disciples' feet. And it gives the right attitude and the right mind and the motive that Jesus is in and why he does this. And so verse 1, we're going to look at this first. It says this, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, before we get into the last two lines there in that verse, I want to just look at before the Passover festival that it starts with, because it puts the time and location into place here. Now, there's certainly some questions. We're not going to get too deep into this, but maybe this week you'll be reading some of these passages, and you might notice some differences between John's events on this day and the other Gospels events that take place, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so because of these differences, it's kind of caused some questions and wondering, when does Jesus actually wash the disciples' feet? And so because it says here, before the Passover festival. And so if you were to read John from chapter 13 to 17, Jesus does a lot of teaching, and then they go right to the Garden of Gethsemane. There's actually no mention at all about the Passover feast or the preparation and any a part of that in John. And so it's kind of just curious. Maybe if you have a small group, it's something you can kind of look at and go back and forth. It's just interesting why John does not include any of that. Where if you read the other Gospels, they actually do not have Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's nowhere to be found. But all of this day is spent on the preparation of the Passover and the eating of the Passover. And so it's just interesting. As you read that, you'll see some of those differences. And so there's some discussion around that when the timing of this takes place because of those questions. Now, I'm simply going to take it and how we're going to move with it without getting into detail, that when it says before the Passover festival, that just simply means like 5 minutes before. So the meal that they're going to be eating around the table, this is taking place just before, like minutes. But there's kind of a bigger conversation there, just out of curious if that's kind of where your mind goes and you want to think that through. So this happens just before the Passover meal. And it says this, and I think this is so important. This gives us a whole direction of why Jesus is going to do this. It says this, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. And so when we read Jesus washing his disciples' feet, we need to have the cross in mind. That we cannot read this apart from this, that Jesus is doing this knowing that tomorrow he is going to die. And he is actually in this going to give a very illustrative example of what he will be doing on the cross, taking the form of a servant, stooping down, washing feet. This is a direct correlation, direct to the cross and what he will be doing in a dramatic fashion. Now, the last part of that verse, and we could camp out here all morning. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And is this not amazing to think tomorrow he's going to die? What keeps him going to the end? His love for his own, his love for his people. And that's just amazing to think. I don't know about you, but like if I get hungry, I lose focus. This week, like I was studying and I looked over at my commentary too fast and I pulled in muscle in my neck. And I had to take the rest of the day off and it was just awful. I was laying in bed. No, I didn't have to do that. But Mel had to listen to me complain about my neck. And so that little bit of pain caused me to think about myself a whole lot. And it's just amazing to think that in those two lines, Jesus is dying tomorrow, yet he's going to continue to the end because of his love for his people. And this just brings to mind Romans 5, verse 8, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so again, it just such amazing message that in all of this, when Jesus is going to wash their feet and Jesus is going to hang on the cross for his people, it's because of love. And again, as I said, we could think about this, but we'll keep moving. But I want us to think Jesus' love and Jesus knowing he's dying tomorrow, as we read from verses 2 to 11. So let's read. And this is the first lesson for us to see. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you don't realize now, but afterward, you will understand." "You will never wash my feet," Peter said. Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." "One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." And so a lot's happening here. I mean, right from the get-go, just thinking of this scenario where Jesus is washing all of the disciples' feet, including the feet of Judas. And it's hard to even think of that, that sort of idea, knowing that he is going to betray you in hours, and yet he washes Judas's feet. And, you know, I can't even fully understand or wrap my head around the idea that Satan has put this thought into Judas' head. I can't even fully understand what that means, but Judas is active in this betrayal, and yet we see Jesus showing this type of servant love and care towards him. Now, obviously, this practice of washing feet is very much a cultural thing. I'm not sure about you. I don't know if you are a host, if you're having lunch today and having people over. I don't know if you will be washing their feet as they enter into your home. So Paul and Gwen, I don't know if you're having family over today. I'm not sure if that's part of your practice to wash feet, but I want to hear that that happens, Paul. So But it's certainly a very cultural type of thing. And because in that day, often people wouldn't wear any shoes or any covering, or they would have just sandals and that were open. And so feet would get dirty. And you think that they're walking on roads, not concrete, not pavements, and there's no cars. It's a lot of animals that are being walked around. And so animals like to leave things behind. And so feet were very dirty. And so it was typical when you go into a home, the host would provide a servant to wash their guests' feet and get all of that muck and dirt and everything that is collected off as a way of cleaning as they ate the meal. And so just think of this scenario here, that we know that if this is the Passover meal, that they are in a borrowed room, so there's no host. And so there is no servant there to wash the feet of the disciples and Jesus coming in. And so this scene, they've all walked in. And most likely, the basin with the towel, where normally you'd wash feet, is sitting right by the door. So keep that in mind, that all of the disciples, they walk by this. And none of them volunteered to do the job that a servant would do. They all walked by and reclined around the table with their feet sticking out. And it tells us at this time that Jesus rises from supper. He gets up, says he takes off his outer clothing. He grabs the towel and ties it around himself. He pours water into the basin and he begins to go around and washing his disciples' feet and drying them off. And even just think of that image. John is very purposeful in how he describes this, that he takes off his outer clothing because it would get in the way, and ties this towel around him. And so not only is he doing the job of a servant, he looks like a servant. So he goes around and it seems to be that it's silent all of the disciples are probably confused and not sure what to think of this event until Peter, of course, pipes up and says, "You're not going to, what are you doing? Are you going to wash my feet?" And then Jesus says, "I know, Peter, you're not going to get it now, but you will get it." And Peter says, "You will not wash my feet." And this week at our afternoon prayer time, we kind of talked about this, and someone asked, why does Peter refuse it here so strongly? And it's hard to know, hard to get into Peter's head and everything that has happened, but there's probably a mix of different things why he refuses his feet getting washed, right? Like, he knows Jesus. He's called him the Christ. He's the rabbi, master, teacher. There's probably this element of, I don't know, humility or something where he's getting down on his knees and washing his feet, where he's probably thinking, I need to be doing this. There's probably all sorts of different things, but I think the main part of this is that Jesus, this is not a job for someone of your status. This is not something that culturally it is a servant who does this, not a rabbi, not a teacher, not someone in your position. You can't be the one washing my feet. But then Jesus says very strongly back to Peter that if I don't do this, you will have no part of me. Now, in English, we read that and it just seems how it is, but it's actually very strong language. It's like, Peter, if I don't wash you, you will not be with me for eternity. Like, this is vital. And Peter gets it right away. You see his response. And again, I appreciate Peter. He's often just says what he's thinking, where he should just maybe at times be quiet and just kind of listen and let Jesus talk. But I can appreciate that. And I know others here can appreciate that too. And so he says, clean all of me then. And Jesus says, no, your feet is fine. Now, what becomes very clear in this teaching that Jesus is not just simply talking about literal foot washing. Is that how you say it? Feet washing. That there's more to it going on here. If we go back to verse 1, that Jesus is doing this in light of what is coming tomorrow, that he is about to die. We see he also says that all of their feet have been cleaned, but not all of them are actually clean. That it's just interesting to think here that Judas's feet were cleaned, yet he was not spiritually clean. And it's just interesting in all of this, just to even think that as a side note, we're not even really going to get there, that Judas, just think of that situation. He has his feet cleaned. You can be that close to Jesus, yet have no part of him. And it's just such a challenging thought. But all of their feet have been clean, but he himself is not clean. And as well, Jesus' words in verse 7 help to point us in what Jesus is getting at here with this cleaning. That Jesus tells Peter, and of course the other disciples who are just as confused but silent, what I am doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. That Jesus is saying that you guys are confused. I know you don't get it. You don't get that someone in my position could get down and serve you in this way. And what's interesting is what's going to happen the next day when they come to arrest Jesus. Peter's still confused, is he not? He starts swinging his sword. And they don't get it. They don't get that Jesus has to take the form of a servant in obedience and go to the cross and die. And Jesus said, you don't understand it, but you will see this. And it's interesting, when do they get this? When do they understand this? When does the act of Jesus becoming a servant, washing feet, going to the cross, when does this all make sense to them? It's after he rises from the dead. On the Sunday, they finally start to click in why Jesus had to go to the cross. And so Jesus is using this illustration of washing feet to show this is what I must do as I go to the cross. That yes, that he goes to the cross in humility as a servant for someone else, for cleansing, not for himself, but cleansing for his people. That Jesus Christ's death on the cross accomplishes cleansing of sin. And this is what this pictures as he cleanses their feet. Now, what's kind of interesting to think that Peter says here that at this time they are confused, but one day they will get it. Later on, afterward, they'll get it. And I like to think how, it's not in the Bible, but a scenario at some point afterwards, maybe with Jesus or maybe as the disciples, that it just hits them. Like, hey, remember when Jesus cleaned our feet and we didn't get it? And remember when Peter, he was like, no, you're not washing my feet. But he was showing us how he took on the form of a servant and washed our feet just as he took on the form of a servant and died on the cross for us in humility, in obedience to God the Father. I just want to think about this for just one application point here, just to think of. In verse 3, again, very purposeful why this is here. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, that he was going back to God. That Jesus not only had all power, he knew he had all power to have everything in his hands. This is power. And this is a good reminder that even though Satan is working in the heart of Judas, that God is in control. Yet we see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, everything in his hands, using his power to love and serve and die for others, including the one who was planning to betray him. When you just think of that explanation there of Jesus, it says he takes off his outer coat. He gets up from supper. He ties a towel around him, looks like a servant, stoops down and washes feet. Does it not remind you of Philippians 2 when it says, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. And so this act of washing feet was a vivid, dramatic reminder of what it meant for the Son of God to go to the cross. And now there's much to be thankful for there, of course, and to dwell on and to think on. But Jesus doesn't stop there, because this is not just something that we are to simply think about and be thankful for, that Jesus has another lesson in this as well. And verse 12 to 17, it says, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done for you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And so he asks that question, do you know what I have done for you? And we could first say, yes, you are picturing you going to the cross willingly as a servant in our place. Your shed blood cleanses us from sin. And that is true. But he's also doing this as an example of how we are to humbly serve one another. And saying, if your teacher and Lord are doing this, you ought to as well. that you ought to wash one another's feet. And as I mentioned, now we were talking about this, I can't remember, at some point this week, maybe 6 to 8. And so most of us, at least I know I haven't, I don't think I've ever washed anyone's feet before. Except maybe my kids. I probably washed my kids' feet when they were younger, of course. So, but it's not something that I've done. And so when you first read that, Jesus says you ought to wash one another's feet. So all of us who don't do that, are we walking in disobedience of that command? My short answer is no, just so you know. We'll get to that point. That I've heard it described as what Jesus has done here in washing the disciples' feet is an acted parable, an acted parable. And so what I mean by that, and what is meant by that, is that often Jesus tells parables and uses a cultural story to teach a spiritual truth. And so us to live it out, we aren't to necessarily live out the culture implications, like look for lost coins or have one of our kids run off somewhere and work with pigs. But it's the illustration, the spiritual truth behind the parable that we are to look to. And so this acted parable of washing feet is for us to see that we are to humbly serve one another, no matter the menial task that it may require. And so how we ought to wash one another's feet is how we serve one another and how we care for one another, how we use our power with those who are around us. Now, there's much to maybe dwell on and to think of. And again, as your maybe small group or your own devotional time, there's maybe much to think on in your own life as you think about this in your own unique position. But just a couple of thoughts just to think on. Just be reminded that Jesus had all power. And this is how he used it, with humility, gentleness, serving without pride. I remember I went to my first year of Bible school, and it was all first year students. It was just a 1 year thing. And I was made an RA, a resident assistant. Is that what it's called? Something like that, NRA. Anyways, I was a little bit in charge of the floor for some reason. I don't know why, but I got that position. And I remember that little bit of power went to my head so quick. I still remember one of my students, who I think was older than me, was saying, like, you're telling me to do this, but you're not even doing it yourself. And I was like, ooh, it was very true. Because I kind of liked giving orders, but it was for everyone else, not for myself. I was using that, even that minuscule little bit of power to make it advantageous for me, not as a way to serve the people that were on my floor. And it's just such a good reminder for me of what power does in my life naturally unchecked. And so what we see here, and just a reminder of power in our world, how often it can corrupt, and how often power can be used for my own good. That power is not better for others, it's better for me. The power can lead to selfishness and greed and pride and an elevated status of me. But Jesus here, living in God's kingdom, flips that completely in how power is meant to be wielded, that it is meant to be used to truly serve, to get down and wash feet in whatever way that is, to come alongside of people closely and carefully and gently and serve. That this is how Jesus illustrates to us how to serve, even if you have power. He also says the servant is not greater than the master. And so just a reminder to his servants, to those after him, that if I did this, who are you to say you don't have to do this? Have you ever had sort of thoughts that that's kind of beneath me? Maybe you don't say that or think that, but it's kind of there. I don't know what you think, but I've certainly had a thought like that before. Sort of an attitude that's kind of below me a little bit. But the example here is that Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who created the world, was willing to come all the way down to earth to serve us in love, in humility, and die. And Jesus is saying, this is how we are to live. That we are called to, thirdly, to serve people like Jesus. And it just keeps bringing me back to Philippians chapter 2. And in this passage, it says, if then there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interest, but rather to the interest of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. You see, as Jesus took off his outer coat, got down and washed his disciples' feet, that this story, this acted parable reminds us that by Jesus' cleansing work on the cross, by his grace, we need to take off our pride, greed, envy, boasting, and all humility, get down and serve one another at a stinky feet level. And what I love about this passage is how chronologically, and just the whole point of it, is leading right to us to Friday. That we are to live in light of the cross and what that means. And be reminded and live this out that Jesus loved us all the way to the cross, all the way to the end. And that Jesus by the cross cleanses our sin. And so when you read this parable, if you're hearing this for the first time, know that apart from Jesus' cleansing work on the cross, we are in sin. In him, we can be forgiven of our sin, all our sin, past, present, future, and in him, we are held for eternity closely in his hand. And so come and know Jesus in this way. And then in Christ, Jesus tells us that he became a servant and in humility went to the cross. And we are to live with the cross on our mind to let us serve one another in this way. As Jesus illustrates as he stoops down and washes feet. And so, brothers and sisters, let's continue love one another. Let's continue to love one another, serve one another, and be thankful for what Christ has done. Let's pray and then we will sing. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we can study, that we can read, that your Spirit works in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I know myself, I've been so blessed to be a part of a church who loves you, a church that you have saved and changing and work and people are serving, and I thank you for that. And I pray that we would continue to be faithful in this way. And in a reminder at the end there of that passage that to live this life that Jesus illustrates for you of being a servant, that we will be blessed. That this is a good and the best way to live. And so, Lord, I pray that as we come into this Easter season and as we are in a very purposeful way, as we ought to every Sunday, that we be reminded of how Christ willingly came to earth in humility, in obedience, went to the cross, and that we would live the same way. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. If you've been encouraged by our time today in God's Word, we'd love for you to connect with us on social media and let us know. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at SCBC London. Until next time, I'm your host, Ryan, and this has been Stony Creek Radio. God bless.